Hello, friends. It's Jim Nance, and it's my great pleasure to welcome you to Beyond the Clubhouse, a podcast hosted by my friend Garrett Johnston. He is a testament to one of the great things about this sport, the friendships that come from playing or even just talking about the game. And you're going to meet some of the characters that Garrett has gotten to know from this past decade plus that he's been covering the sport. You're going to hear from players, caddies, members of the media. You're going to get the storytelling, the golf news, the players' swing tips, and a whole lot of laughs. It's coming your way with this edition of Beyond the Clubhouse. Here's Garrett.
All right, what's happening, guys? Got Mackenzie Hughes here, a 10-minute chat. This is from Tuesday at Bay Hill a couple weeks back. And, we covered a lot of ground. We covered him being a dad. Of course, he's got three young kids at home. So what's that like? How has he adapted? I think his oldest is 6 years old. So these are young kids that he's dealing with. But a lot of relatable aspects of this guy. I mean, he's out on tour, brings the kids when he can. He was out there, had them out there in Orlando. So he tries to balance fatherhood, tries to balance his life on tour as well. So it's really, really cool to kind of get into that. But we remember him from earlier this year about the walk and talk he did with CBS Sports, remember with Jim Nance, just a few weeks back. And just talking about the state of the game and how he feels like the pro game is broken. And, you know, players often have, like, in his opinion, warped sense of what they're worth, especially the guys that have gone to live. So he gets into kind of the division in the game and kind of what are some thoughts as to what could be next and how do you unify things. And, you know, he understands why fans are upset. So we go down that road a little bit with Mackenzie Hughes, but obviously playing well this week at the Valspar. He was part of that group of five players there tied for the lead through 36 holes. So good to see him playing well. But some just good thoughts here, catching up with Mackenzie Hughes. Again, about 10 minutes with him. He's a 33-year-old from Hamilton, Canada. His wife, Jenna, and him raising, as I said, three young kids. So interesting to hear his take on fatherhood. We kind of dig into fatherhood a little bit and how much boundaries he puts down with his kids and how when he feels like it's time to tell them, okay, turn off the YouTube, let's go on to other things, let's play outside. You know, all those challenges we all face as dads out there. So anyway, here's Mackenzie Hughes on Beyond the Clubhouse.
All right, Garrett Johnston here with Mackenzie Hughes. Mackenzie, eighth year on the PGA Tour. How does it feel right now?
Yeah, it kind of feels like it's gone by really quick. I won my rookie year, and that seems like a long time ago, but also at the same time, it's hard to believe I'm here in year eight. So thankful to have had the time I've had so far, and hopeful that we'll have you know, many more years to come on the PGA Tour.
For sure. And I think about practice schedules, and, you know, you've got three kids now. How does your practice schedule priorities change now with the three kids?
Yeah, it looks a lot different. When I first got on tour, it was pretty much go to the course and spend 7, 8, 9 hours sometimes at the course. And, you know, but with my wife at work, I was really, you know, I had the day to myself. I had, you know, my time was very flexible. And now with three kids, school pickups and drop-offs and activities, that's changed a lot. So now my priorities and my schedule needs to be a lot tighter and more efficient. But it's a great problem to have. I've got three beautiful kids that I love dearly, and it's been great.
What's your favorite thing to do with the three kids? I know they're all different personalities, but what types of things are fun?
You know, the other day, I mean, just taking a long walk, finding playgrounds, going exploring, talking with them. It's just neat to see them, you know, develop and evolve as they get older. My oldest is very, very curious, lots of questions, you know, how things work, and just talking to them and explaining those things, that's it's a lot of fun.
You got to explain, like, why they can't watch certain movies, right, as well, too, I'd imagine?
Yeah. I mean, my oldest son, he's six, and he loves to watch YouTube, and I have to explain to him that, like, you know, this is not something that we get to watch all the time, and it's really not real life. If I, you know, I'm trying to explain to him that this is not really like it's not reality. You know, he's got these kids playing these video games, and they're playing with their dad all day, and you know, I'm like, this is not what we're gonna be like. You know, growing up, we're not gonna be playing video games all day, but just like, you know, trying to have those discussions. Like, he, you know, at one point he wanted to be a YouTuber, and I'm like, well, that's fine, but there, you know, there's lots more things out there. And so just, yeah, he's getting pretty smart though. So, yeah, the questions are getting harder and harder, but, yeah, it's been a lot of fun being a dad. I think that it's fun when they're at a tournament like this and, you know, I can leave the golf course and whether you've played poorly or great, it doesn't matter to them. So that's always a lot of fun to come home to. And, yeah, it's been really nice.
What's the hardest part? I know for me, I've got three young kids as well. And it's just hard to tell them no sometimes, or it's hard to, you know, stand your ground on certain things. But what do you feel is the hardest part about being a dad?
Well, yeah, I think that's like you said, you have to be able to say no sometimes, and you have to be, you have to enforce things, and you have to be strict at times when you know that you're right and that what you're saying is in their best interest, even though they're not so convinced, you know, that they shouldn't have a giant bowl of ice cream right before bed. You know, so like there's times where you have to be that guy, and it's not always fun, but you know it's the right thing to do, and it's you know, in their best interest. So that can definitely be a challenging balance.
Yeah, and think about younger kids. I think about when you were younger, growing up in Hamilton, cold climate. How did you keep your passion for golf and be able to practice during those younger days?
Yeah, honestly, like when I was growing up in the winter, I didn't really play a lot in the winter. I would play other sports, hockey, basketball, just different sports to keep myself busy. So that was a big thing for me, was that I didn't burn out as a young kid trying to play golf all year round. I think that's something that helped me kind of maintain that hunger, if you will. Like when spring came around, like the grass was starting to clear and, you know, the snow was melting. I mean, it was like Christmas, you know, you're like, oh, we're so close, and you can smell it, and you can smell spring, and you knew that golf was around the corner. And to me, that's really exciting. And, you know, still like some of my fondest memories in Canada are those first few days you get out on the course after the long winter, and, you know, you see the grass and you hit a few shots and you feel the turf. And, so that's kind of, for me, like growing up in Canada, that's kind of how I felt like I managed it. Some guys were different, but for me, that was my route.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Canadians out here doing well. Corey Connors, number of guys. I wanted to also ask you about the state of the game on PGA Tour right now. And I know you did a walk and talk with CBS, just mentioning how players sometimes have, at this day and age, have a warped sense of what their value is, what their worth is, and kind of how would you expound on that?
Well, I think my biggest... The point I was really trying to make on that walk and talk was that, you know, it seems to become like the money has become like the main focal point of professional golf. And I'm not going to sit here and say that money is important. I want to have, you know, I want to be able to buy food for my family. I mean, making a living is important no matter what you're doing. You want to be, you know, fairly compensated for what you do. So I'm not here to denounce that money is not important, but it is just that it's become the entire focus. It's like it's consumed the sports. It's become all that you know, it seems that we're focused on. So I think for me, it's just that I don't play for those reasons. It's an added bonus that my first real love and passion as a sport became my career, but that's not my why. And I think that it would be really nice if, you know, for the fans, we weren't necessarily slamming that down, you know, their throats. People don't really care. People don't care how much professional athletes make. They want to see great performances, and they want that to be the highlight and the focal point of why they're watching, you know. And this battle between LIV and PGA Tour, I mean, you know, it's doing way more harm than good. So I know that people would say competition is good, but for the game of golf, I don't think that this is a good competition.
Right. And, you know, you've talked about pathways back. What does that look like for some of these guys? You know, how will that look? And how have you kind of chalked that up, or what's kind of been your thought on that?
Yeah, that is a question that I'm not qualified to answer. I mean, the pathway back will be decided by, you know, probably the the top tier of the PGA Tour and the executives and Jay, but that is a really complicated answer because I know that there will be a large portion of the membership that wouldn't be in favor of that. But as a whole, I think it's what needs to happen. I just don't know how you make it happen. And the other point is, like, you probably only have, I mean, if it happens next year or in 2 years, I mean, you don't have many guys with status remaining on LIV. So you're talking maybe, what, 5, 6, 7 guys at most probably that have status. So to me, you know, you could find a way to work those guys back in if they so choose. But the reality is they might not want to. I don't. There's not, you know, a guarantee those guys come back and play many events at all. But it would be nice if you played an event like Riviera with a ton of history and a great field, and if you added, you know, 5 or 6 of the best players in the world that are, you know, playing on LIV right now. You know, the Cam Smiths and the DJs and the Roms. I mean, those guys, Brooks, should be playing with Rory and Scotty and those guys. So, yeah, I hope it happens, but I don't know how it happens.
When you were talking about membership a second ago too, like, and how another question is, like, how do you compensate, you know, accurately the guys that did stay? And I know there's SSG and there's different things that have kind of come to the forefront, but kind of what's your thought on that overall?
Yeah, I think overall it's a positive thing for the tour, but, you know, the compensation and all that, it's a bit tricky. You know, I don't know, it hasn't even rolled out to me. I don't know, you know, who they're compensating and how they're compensating people, but I think any investment in the tour, you know, signifies that there's some stability long term, which I think through the LIV emergence, there were some doubts there for a while. You know, you just wondered, you know, can we sustain with this threat? And it appears as though we can. But what that looks like long term, I don't know. What this sports group comes in and does or tries to do, I don't know. I probably know, you know, as many details as you do. So it's all been fairly surface level stuff so far, and hopefully we'll find out more soon.
Well, Mac, appreciate your time, and good luck here in the early part of the season.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, bro.
All right, my thanks to Mackenzie Hughes for jumping on. Again, about 10 minutes, there was the Bay Hill Tuesday practice round. Caught up with him. I had talked with him the year before, and I just, you know, really enjoy the conversation. He's just very engaging, as you know, very relatable, talking about fatherhood, talking about things that he deals with at home that a lot of us do and can share as well. So I like his thoughts on the game as well, the say of the game, and feeling like things are a little frustrating for fans. I like that he sees it from fans' perspective, and that's something he kind of illuminated a little bit as well on the CBS Walk and Talk. So anyway, talking with Mackenzie, good to hear his perspective on things, and good to see him playing well at Valspar this week. So hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll catch up again soon on Beyond the Clubhouse.